So anyways, because it's important that, you know, when we walk in faith, there's power, you know, when we walk in faith. We're not only pleasing to God, but we're strengthening ourselves at the same time against any further attacks of the enemy in a certain area. And that's why, like we talked about, that the enemy doesn't like it when we decide to walk in faith and stay true to our faith walk. Because the enemy knows what's happening is that our spirit man inside, we're being strengthened to be able to counter his attacks in those areas. So it's one less avenue the enemy gets to try to get in to wreak havoc into our lives. But again, nobody ever said walking in faith was going to be easy. I wish, I've been looking through that scriptures. I can't find it. I'm sorry. But, you know, I wish I could tell you, hey, guess what? Faith walk's easy. No, it's not. But as I said, though, in the end, guess what? It's a rewarding. It is so rewarding to see something that you have been standing in faith for come to pass. You know, and sometimes it takes 20 years. And my mom's probably still waiting for those things to come to pass. But for the most part, it's taken 20 years for me to, you know, fulfill things and get back into the, you know, not now, but it was before. You know, I wouldn't be up here like, yeah. But, you know, when I was running, sometimes it takes time. But you know what? Time produces patience. Time produces trust. And that's why God is very pleased when we're on our faith walk and we're looking to him and trusting him, because that's what faith really is it's trusting him, trusting his word, knowing that his word is true, knowing who we know, who he is. That's an important aspect. Is if we don't really understand who God is, then we need to get into the word and figure it out. Do a word study on who God is, or begin to pull scriptures of what he's done for us. Why? Because that helps to produce revelation going, wait a minute, my God is the great healer. My God is the provider. My God is love. My God is my helper. My God is everything. He's my Abba Father. He's there to help me and to bless me and to see things through. He's not the hate. He's not full of hate and anger and rage like the world has an idea of who God is, that God is sitting up there upon his throne with lightning bolts in his hand waiting for us to sin so he can strike us down. No, it's such a misconception of who God really is. Even in the Old Testament, he had to bring discipline upon the people, but he did so out of love. Even though there was a time, I think Moses is like, go ahead and destroy them. You know, these people are driving me crazy. Go ahead and wipe them out. But no, they didn't, thank goodness. But the whole, even from the Old Testament, as we move into the transitional Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see the picture of the cross. The greatest sacrifice, the greatest show of the love of God was his son, Jesus Christ, that he put on that cross for us. You know, and I love the time of Easter. I love being able to walk into this time and begin to, you know, we're always called to remember, but it's always this time of year. It's always something special that happens this time of year. It's just a whole new vibrance to the Easter story, which we're going to get into probably next week. So don't worry about it today. We're going to spend the next 12 weeks on Easter story. No, I'm just kidding. But see, the world will always try to get us off of our faith walk. As I said, the world will use comments, negativity, it'll never happen, yeah, right, blah, 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 in order to bring doubt, because we know doubt is fear, and it will pull us off of our faith walk, but we're called to be steadfast. And this morning, we're going to start with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And it says, trust in the Lord with what? Part of your heart? All of your heart. And do not lean unto your own understandings. Oh, that's right, because your understandings get you in trouble. That's about right. And then it says, and in all your ways acknowledge him, for he will make your paths crooked. Straight. Straight. See, trust in the Lord. I love that. Lean not unto your own understanding. Why? Because our own understanding can be changed misled or mistaught. When we try to do things under our own understanding, it doesn't work out the way we expect it to. See, if we give him glory and acknowledge him, then the word acknowledge in the Hebrew means to recognize, to be aware, to understand, or have knowledge. See, when we acknowledge him, we recognize him, we understand him, and know him, and it says that he will direct our paths or make our paths straight. It also means in the Hebrew, I love this part. You ready for this? Make your paths smooth. Ooh, wait a minute. What about that speed bump? Smooth. When we acknowledge God, when we recognize God, when we trust God, when we give him everything, it says that he will make our paths straight and smooth. That means the enemy can't trip you up. That means the enemy can't try to get you off the path, because that path is straight and smooth, and there should be no way that you'd be able to fall off of it unless we go to our own understanding, which our own understanding then will be like, wait a minute, I've been walking on this path a long time. I like this shortcut. Let's take this shortcut. And then you're in the briars. You're off, you're lost in the wilderness, and GPS is going, recalculating. And you're like, how did I get out here? Recalculating, you know, but there's no GPS signal out there. But see, that's what happens when our own understanding is we become impatient in our own understanding. We become insecure in our own understanding. We want things now. We don't want to walk things out. But God is like, hey, if you trust me, if you recognize me, guess what? I'm going to make life easy for you. See, it's giving God the glory. And that's a lot of times where we've gotten into this rut is we don't want to really give God the glory anymore. But see, when we give God the glory, when we thank him, it's one of those deals that we wake up in the morning, we should be thanking God for a new day. We should be recognizing him for everything. Lord, I thank you for this meal. I thank you for this house. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my pets, no matter how crazy they are, but I thank you for them. You know, it's everything that we look at is to be thankful. Lord, we thank you for the wind, the rain. You know, we thank him for the air we breathe. Come on. But it's sometimes we become complacent in our ways and we take him for advantage of everything that he gives. But see, giving him the glory in all things and recognizing him in all things. Why? Because we're looking to him. We're not looking at everything around us. We're trusting him. We're giving him the thanks for everything in our life. And guess what he'll do then? He'll make our path straight and smooth. How can he do that? Simple. Because when we're acknowledging the Father, we're not leading the Father. What do I mean? It's because we're not the ones leading him, but instead we're walking right beside him. Ever have that person who was running ahead and they kept looking back, going, come on, come on, you guys are slow. Come on, come on, come on. And they didn't see that hole or some hazard in their path, and that hazard caused them to trip and fall. We've all been there. You're not watching, we're walking, all of a sudden, you know, luckily it's not like the Wile E. Coyote and it's a cliff, you know, because that wouldn't be good. But it's those things. So what happens is then we're not paying attention to our surrounding. We're too busy looking back, trying to get people to come to where we're at. And a lot of times that's what happens in our own understanding is we're leading God saying, hey, over here, come with me this way. And he's like, no, I want to go this way. And you're too busy walking your own path and looking back at him that you don't see the hazard in front of you. But it's those times that when we are walking next to the Father, and a lot of times it says that when we dwell in his shadow, That means we are in close proximity of the Father. It's those times that we're walking next to him, we're listening to his voice easier. But the cool thing about it is when we're walking next to him, he's leading us. And we can look up at him instead of looking back and being distracted. See, when we are walking with God, trusting God, acknowledging God, then again, we are walking next to him, following his instructions, and the entire time, he will say, watch out for that rock. Hey, watch out. The enemy's trying to trip you up there. Oh, better yet, let me take care of that for you. When we're following him, he will be guiding our path. He will be guiding our steps upon the path. He's the one there to make things, you know what? Oh, the enemy put a log over your path? Let me get rid of that. Let's keep walking together. See, we need him. And by acknowledging him, it's like, oh, thanks, Dad, for that. Thanks for getting rid of that hazard, that tripping hazard that was in my way. Father, thank you for this straight path. Wait, thank you for this smooth path. Because my knees these days need smooth pavement. Lord, thank you. No, but, you know, it's those kind of things. But it's always given him that acknowledgement because he gets rid of the obstacles. Why? So we don't have to worry about them. That's the cool thing about when we're walking with the Father is he gets rid of these obstacles in our lives, the things in our life, so we don't have to worry about him. All we have to do is give him praise for removing it from us. That's why the Father always wants to be needed. He loves to be needed. He loves for his children to come before him saying, Father, I need you. I have this situation that's too great in my life. I need you to help me out. But when we're like, I've got it, you know, and we see that with the children of Israel, when the times were good, they're like, we don't need you, God. And what happened? The worldly ways came inside and they brought in idols and idol worshiping and they stopped giving God the glory. They stopped recognizing him. They stopped doing this stuff. And then all of a sudden, the enemy was like, they're primed for attack. Let's do it. And they would get attacked. And at that moment, then all of a sudden they're being taken over and the enemy's coming to destroy them and all this stuff. Then what happens? They cry out, God, we need you. Help us. And he's faithful. And he would help them. But see, we can get ourselves out of that problem where we're having to cry out for help is if we follow him, trust him, walk with him, and allow him to continually make our path straight. Because when we follow the words of God, and I love it in the Old Testament, it talks about that God through the prophet was giving them insight to the enemy's ambushes. I love it. The enemy's waiting for the children to come by in the bushes, waiting to ambush them. And God would be like, through the prophet, be like, don't go that way because they're waiting for you. Go this way. And it got to the point that the enemy was so frustrated and was wondering who within his own circle was telling the Israelites what their plans were. But see, that's what God does. That's how God works when we're walking with him. He will tell us, hey, don't go that route because the enemy has a trap for you. You might not want to do that because that's going to bring destruction. But it's those times that we need to be sensitive. And then when the enemy's trap is exposed and we walk out of it, what do we need to do? Thank you, Father. We need to glorify him. Because otherwise, we're just taking advantage of him. And that's not good. And as we get into the Easter season, we remember the life, the sacrifice, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I love it. One thing we have to remember is that he came to bring us life. Better yet, what does it say? Abundant life. See, it's the life that is overflowing the banks I love it. That cannot contain, so it will pour over, right? He came to flood our lives with examples of the kingdom, to reward us with benefits and overflowing glory and anointing and the provision that only the kingdom can provide. Some may say, but Pastor, my life is in chaos right now. I feel like my cup, as in the title sermon, is only half empty. But I'm like, is it half empty or is it half full? You know, but anyways, that was a joke. You know, some people say it's half full, some say half empty. We're going to argue, but it's half. Okay, it's not the fullness. You know, my glass is not overflowing. My life is not overflowing. I don't have that abundant life. The cares of this world are draining me. I do not feel refreshed. I do not see a way out. I feel hopeless, depressed, full of anxiety, unable to stand. See, that's what happens when our cups become half full. It seems like we're aware of everything that's going wrong in our life rather than the one who can turn it all around. But we're living in a time, and I believe that if we look at things with our natural eyes, it will drain us. It will hinder our walk, and it will prevent us or stop our faith walk, right? And it will make us question the existence of God. And it will also make us feel hopeless. But see, what happens is John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief comes to make your glass half full. The thief comes to steal your abundant life. The thief comes to destroy your walk with God. The thief comes to steal everything. The blessings that God is trying to put upon your way, the open doors he's trying to destroy. Why? So we question the existence of God and if he's really real. We question him. We get into a hopeless state in our lives. We allow anxiety to walk in, depression to walk in. Why? Because he's killing, stealing, and destroying our walk with the Father, and that's what he wants to do. But I love what Jesus says. I came that they, which means you and me, so you can say, he came that what? We may have life and have it abundantly. So when we start to take our eyes off of Jesus, we begin to sink. We begin to focus on the things that the enemy wants us to focus on, right? Remember back in Proverbs 3:6, where we started this morning, it says to acknowledge God in all things. It didn't say the good times, right? It said in all things. That means the good times, the bad times, the mediocre times, the halfway times, all things. It's not acknowledging him when times are desperate or not so good, or the times where I'm hopeless and anxiety is strong and I'm full of doubt and fear. It's trusting him and his word no matter what. This is a place where he wants us to get back into once again. Because when we acknowledge him, when we understand who he is, we begin to praise him even more. When we see his heart, we begin to reach for him even more, because God wants an intimate walk with you and I, and we are required, or not required, but when we want to know something about who we're intimate with, we're going to study them. We're going to find their likes, their dislikes, their cares, their concerns, their issues, the problems. We're going to know everything about them, and that's where everything in this word is written. This is the Father's heart written for us. But when we acknowledge him, when we get into his word and acknowledge who he is, he begins to straighten things in our lives. Sometimes it's our attitude. He begins to straighten our attitude. He begins to straighten our words and our comments and how we deal with things in our lives. You know, he begins to straighten, first off, when we begin to understand the Father, he begins to change things inside of us, because he's doing a work inside of us as well. to make his holy and pure righteousness, but he wants us. And when we begin to follow in his footsteps and dwell in him and his presence, guess what's happening is we're changing into the image that we're all called to walk in. Need an open door in your life? Acknowledge God for what he has done. And acknowledge him for what he is going to do. That's faith. Need a family turnaround? Acknowledge God. Need healing? Acknowledge God. Need a miracle? Acknowledge God. Give him the glory now for what he's about to do. Because that's faith. See, when times are good, it's easy to acknowledge God. But when the times are rough, we begin to question God. You know, and many times we hear people of the church going, God, why am I going through this? Why have you brought me here? Why are you putting me through this situation? You know, and I heard a preacher one time that said, when we're in the midst of a storm or in the midst of something, we don't need to question God, why am I here? It's what do I need to learn? Because sometimes when we're in the wilderness, as we talked about on a Wednesday night series, is that the wilderness wasn't a place of punishment, but it was a place of the children of Israel having to be taught to be the children that God wanted them to be. It was a place of trust. It was a place of learning. It was a place of growing. It was a place of walking in that faith. It was an understanding. It was a strengthening. A lot of times we look at the wilderness and like, oh, great, this is great. I'm in the season. But you know what? Sometimes we'll be like, God, what are you trying to teach me in this season? Help me understand what you're trying to teach me so I can get out of this season. Because once the children of Israel were taught, even that generation had come, but there was a new generation that rose that was so focused and trusting on God. And then God says, now is the time for you to cross the Jordan into the promised land. Why? Because they had got to that point where they were trusting God with everything that they had. If God said, it's time to fight, they're like, let's go to war. If he says, I need you to do this, they were like, all right, let's do it. And it took a series, it took a process. And sometimes our lives, when we're walking through faith, when we're going through things, it's a process. And it's not God punishing us. He's trying to teach us something. But in the process, our faith begins to be stirred. Because now we have to trust God even more than ever before. See, if we remind God of his word, that means we get into his word in order to remind him of it, right? See, that's what the cool part about it is. It means that we're studying the scripture. If we're going through whatever it is, you know, if we have a prodigal, then we start looking at the return of the prodigal son. We start seeing the father's heart to be able to pray for our children, our prodigals. If we're running through a financial situation, there's scriptures throughout the word of God where he provide. But get ready for us to have to take that step first before he starts to do something, because that's the way he wants. He checks our heart first to see if we're willing to be obedient to his word, and then he usually will return the favor. See, it's when we study and learn the heart of the Father, it's called intimacy. And that's what he wants from his children, is intimacy. To be able to walk, talk, and understand him and learn who he is. If we remind, it's those times that when we feel that our cup is half empty, that we need to get into the word of God and stand on the scriptures and let the scriptures shed light and hope to our situation. It's spending time with the Father in his word. It's in worship and in prayer. And when we do that, guess what happens? Our cup begins to fill up. Our cup begins to get to that point of where it begins to overflow, which we'll see. But Pastor, you don't understand my situation. I know the word says to stand in the face of spiritual adversity. Paul said it three times in Ephesians 6. Stand, stand, stand. You know, and when we look at the meaning of that, it's not just standing, like here we are you know, because you could get somebody that's just standing and I could come up and push you over. See, the enemy wants us to be, I'm standing. No, you're not, because the enemy's going to push you over. But what Paul in Ephesians was talking about, learning from the Roman soldiers, when they stood, you couldn't move them. What does that mean? They took their feet and they were embedded in the ground. They made sure their feet were in the foundation. Their knees were bent. They were ready for a war. And when you dig in, you are unmovable. So that's what happens, is when we get into the word, we begin to stand on that word, the foundation. And we become an immovable force that the enemy cannot push around. And then we see in Psalms 23, verse 5, I love Psalms 23. It's probably one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Well, actually, they're all my favorite, but Psalms 23, I really love. But Psalms 23, verse 5 says, and I love this. I was reading this the other day, and it was, oh my goodness. You know, it was such revelation when we look at this particular chapter, because it talks about our cup overflowing, right? It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Whoo! And you have anointed my head with oil. And then I love it. My cup overflows. The amplified version of that says, my brimming cup runs over. See, God just doesn't take our cup to the brim and said, well, that's enough for now. No, he makes it flow. He's like, nah. You know, it's like those things, you get that last drop and you got that nice mound of liquid on top, which is like something really hard to do, but you get that mound and got to be like, yeah, nah. You know, he just let it flow. But see, that's what he does. Biblical commentary, I was reading, put the oil in this scripture one in this certain way, and I want to read that to you. It says, it is difficult for those living a temperate climate to appreciate, but it was customary in hot climates to anoint the body with oil to protect it from excessive perspiration. When mixed with perfume, the oil imparted a delightful, refreshing, and invigorating sensation. Athletes anointed their bodies as a matter of course before running a race. As the body, therefore, anointed with oil was refreshed, invigorated, and better fit for action. So the Lord would anoint his sheep with the Holy Spirit, whom oil symbolizes, to fit them to engage more freely in his service and run in the way he directs in heavenly fellowship with him. Wow. See, he anoints our heads so we're ready to run the race. He anoints our heads so that we're more invigorated than ever before. He anoints our heads so that no matter what the season we're in, he anoints us so we can get through that season. He anoints us with talent so we can push through for the things that he wants to do. He does this, again, because he loves. But see, I love it when we get to the part where it says God will sit you at a table before your enemies, right? You ready for this? God will make you an example. Well, I'm sorry. God will make an example of you before your enemies. He sits you at the table, anoints your head with oil, showing that you are chosen, showing that you are fit to run the race you are running, showing the enemy that you're, like I said, his chosen. You are a queen. You are chosen by him. He anoints you to do everything that he has called you to do. It's the same things that the enemy is trying to say you are not worthy to do, but God says, oh, no, 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 no. I'm anointing his head or her head to run the race that I have laid out before them. And they will not only run it, but they will run it with more. They will be invigorated and they will endure. See, God is showing the enemy that we're chosen by him and that there is nothing the enemy can say or do that can replace the calling upon our lives. David was called to be a king. He was anointed to be a king, and there was nothing Saul could do to prevent David from becoming the next king. Saul tried killing him, throwing javelins at him. You know, I don't know if we would have been like David in those days, like, I quit. No, but see, the thing is, when God anoints you to do something, there's nothing the enemy can do to pull you away from that unless you decide to quit because it's the battle, the race is too hard. Now, when you look at it also, when we allow God to make our cup run over, then we are getting in his glory as well. Ever spill a cup of water or have a child spill a cup of water on the table or over or have a waitress that would come by and overflow your glass without knowing? Thank goodness it's usually water and not coffee. But anyways, but see what happens when that happens. The water, it flows. It flows. Usually into somebody's lap, but it flows. You know what I mean? But so you're soaking your enemies at the table. No, that's wrong. But the water flows. See, that's what God wants our lives to be like, is we're allowing him through his spirit, through worship and praise and coming him to allow his glory to overfill us, and we begin to saturate those that we are around. Because with God, we're always being renewed, refreshed. With God, there's never a dry season. And in closing, Romans 15, verse 13 says, now I've got the Amplified, which we're going to get to on there, but it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy. That's going to be the Amplified. Just give me one second. With all, actually, I think I have them both there, don't I? Oh, cool. Yes. All right, hold on that one. But it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you will abound in all hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Amplified, which is up there, says, and I love this version, it says, may the God of your hope so fill you with all joy, right? And peace. Not just joy, but fill you with more than you ever know for joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing. What is that word? Bubbling over with what? Hope. Say, God, he's filling your glass, not only with hope, but he's letting it bubble over with joy and peace as well. See, it's those times that we get into his presence and into his glory and we chase after him. He fills our cup not only with hope, but also with joy, with peace, love, more glory. And see, it's that same bubbling over, the same flowing over that the people that are according to the world that are lost and are looking for. What are they usually looking for? Love, peace, joy, and what? Hope. It's the same thing that God allows to bubble over in our lives. See, we're called to be an influence. And when we trust him and walk with him, guess what? We bubble over and we become an influence to them. But it calls us to acknowledge God in everything we do. If we get a raise at work, we acknowledge God. If we get somebody walking up saying, hey, God told me to give you this. Well, we praise God. We acknowledge him. You know, if we have to get a new car, guess what? We acknowledge God for the best deal in the world on that new car. If we have to get a house, we acknowledge God that we get a house. We acknowledge God in everything that we do. Even when we're having to pay the mortgage on that house, we can acknowledge God and thank him that he is going to supernaturally pay that thing off. So if anybody wants to have our account, we can, I'm joking. I'm just kidding. But it's those things because why? God is in the business of doing this stuff. I've known people in Bible college that they'd get a phone call from their mortgage broker that says, hey, guess what? We've decided to take care of your mortgage. Come on. My God's in the business of doing stuff like that. But what do we need to do? Acknowledge him in everything that we do. Give him the praise of the glory. And guess what? And be excited for the blessings that are going to abound from him. See, God never meant for our glass to be half empty.